Please, 1 Kings chapter 10. Hey man, I love church. I was born 9 months before I was born, I was in church. Amen. I can count probably on one hand how many times I've missed church, and I love church. I love Sunday night as well. Amen. That is the best service. Sunday morning, you fight a lot of stuff. Sunday night, you just hear from God. And 1 Kings chapter 10, we're going to look down in verse number 23. If you found your place, would you stand together, please, for the word of God. 1 Kings chapter 10 and verse number 23. The Bible says, "So King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and for wisdom. And all the earth sought to Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart." I want to preach to you on King Solomon and his son. And I'm going to use a lot of Bible tonight, but I think if you'll listen, God has something for you. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'd help me now tonight. Lord, I pray that you take me. I pray that you hide me behind the cross. Lord, I pray that your spirit would have complete liberty in this place. I pray that you'd use me, Lord, please. I pray that it wouldn't be just another service, but Lord, that your spirit would come. Lord, as you speak to that heart, Lord, tonight, Lord, that heart that needs to hear from you, Lord, I pray that you'd use it. Lord, help me, Lord, to get out of the way. I pray that you take full control, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight, we find here, we read about King Solomon. Solomon was the third king of the nation of Israel, first king being Saul, and the second king being David. Now, Solomon is David's son, and he's the king. King Solomon had a lot of things going for him. If you look, King Solomon, the Bible says, had more wisdom than any other man. If you go back to 1 Kings chapter number 4, 1 Kings chapter 4, you jump down to verse 29, 1 Kings 4, 29. "And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding, exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore." There's a lot of sand on the seashore. Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country, and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men. Look at the verse number, the next verse, verse 32. "And he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. Solomon was very wise. And that is a very big understatement. Solomon was wiser than any man that ever had lived, ever did live, and ever will live. Solomon had all the wisdom. Solomon asked, the Lord came to Solomon in a dream. He said, "Solomon, ask what you want of me, and I'll give it." And the Bible says he didn't ask for riches. He asked for wisdom. And amen, he got wisdom. And that means God answers prayer. And listen, he didn't just get a little bit of wisdom. He got all the wisdom. You ask God for something, you get all of it. Why? Because he's a good God. He's a good God. Solomon had all the wisdom in the world. He had more wisdom than we could ever imagine. Not only did he have wisdom, Solomon had more riches than any other man. Go back to chapter 10, 1 Kings 10, verse 14. 1 Kings 10, verse 14. "Now the weight of gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 666 talents of gold." Now that is, if you do the math, amen, that's around $9 million a year. That's a lot of money, amen? I'll take one, just one. You don't have to have, just you leave the 800, I'll just take one, amen? But listen, not only was he the wisest man, he was the richest man. $900 million a year in gold. Listen, he had riches, he had wisdom. Not only that, don't turn there, but if you go back to chapter 4, the Bible says that, "And Judah and Israel dwelt safely, every man under his vine and under his fig tree, in all the days of Solomon." Listen, not only was he the wisest man, was he the richest man, but he had peace. David had fought all the wars. Solomon didn't fight any wars. Amen. You imagine life without fighting a war? Amen. Be wise to get to be rich, and you don't even have to fight. I mean, this guy had it made. Amen. Solomon had it all. He had peace in the land. David had done all the work, but go to verse 11, chapter 11. And this is where we're going to be tonight, the text, chapter 11, 1 Kings chapter 11. I'm going to read a few verses. The Bible says right here in chapter 11, verse 11, "Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee, and will give it to thy servant. Notwithstanding in thy days, I will do it. I will not do it for David thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of the hand of thy son. Howbeit, I will not rend away all the kingdom, but will give one tribe to thy son for David my servant's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen." Tonight I want to preach on this subject: a space of grace for David's sake. A space of grace for David's sake. Solomon had it all. Yet the Bible says he went away. "Thou hast not kept my commandments, my covenants." Sowing and reaping. The law of sowing and reaping. Listen, you reap what you sow. You reap exactly what you sow. That can be good, amen. You reap souls. You reap blessings from God, and that can be bad. You reap what you sow, you reap exactly what you sow, and you reap later than you sow. You see, in chapter 10 and chapter 11, there's a different time frame. Solomon's a lot older. But he had the same thing. He had the same chance. Very first thing I want you to notice tonight in this chapter, we're going to dive into this story. So we're going to use a lot of Bible, amen, but that's what we came to hear, amen, the Word of God. And so the very first thing I want you to notice is Solomon's folly. Look in 11, verse 1. But, so we have the wisdom, we have the riches, we have all of that, but King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, the women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidians, and Hittites. Of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, "Ye shall not go in unto them, neither shall they come unto you, for surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods." Listen, Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. And his wives turned his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart, listen, of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidians, and Milcom, and abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, listen, as did David his father. Solomon's folly. Solomon goes to from the great wise man into a man of folly. Folly is weakness. It's a lack of sense. Why did he become a man of folly? Why? Because, very first thing, because he directly disobeyed God's command. Look at verse number 2. Of the nations concerning, the Bible says, the children of Israel, "Ye shall not go in unto them, neither shall they come unto you, neither shall ye come in, for surely they will turn away your hearts." Listen, God says, don't go to them. They don't come to you because they're going to turn you away. Surely. That means no exceptions. It's going to happen. You go to them, they're going to turn you away. What if Solomon knew? He went right to it. God gave him a direct command. He said, don't go to them. Don't take them as wives. Don't. And you know what he did? He did it. And listen, he became a man of folly. Why? Because he simply didn't obey. That is the easiest thing to do. Obey God. Obey the commands of God. He didn't. Not only did he intermingle with these ladies, he married them. He married the ladies, the Moabites. They're descendants of Moab. Y'all remember a man named Lot? Lot came out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Do I need to say any more? Amen. He came out of Sodom and Gomorrah. He had fornication with his daughters. Two sons were born, Moab and Ammon. You know who Solomon married? Moabites, Ammonites. Amen. That's not wisdom. That's folly. Why? Because he didn't do what God said. He didn't do what God said. He married the Ammonites, the Edomites. They're descendants of Esau, the flesh, Satan. That's who Solomon's marrying. You see, but he thought he knew more than God. He thought he knew better than God. God said, don't. If you do, you will surely be destroyed. Solomon was a man of folly because he didn't obey God. Solomon was a man of folly because he was a fornicator. 700 wives, 300 concubines. That's the definition of fornication. Amen. Amen. Listen, that he was a man of fornication. Solomon is a man of folly because he served other gods. Look at verse 4. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. The God that answered his prayer, the God that gave him riches and wisdom, the God that gave him everything he has, now he is turned away to other gods. He's a man of folly because he turned away to other gods. Solomon's a man of folly because he's consumed by evil. Verse 6, Solomon did evil. He's consumed by it. And Solomon's a man of folly because he went away even after he had seen God's power. Look at verse 9. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel. Listen, which had appeared unto him twice. Solomon went away from the very God that he saw. He saw the miracles of God. He saw God. He was in the presence of God, not once, but twice. Amen. That is a man of folly. Solomon was a man of folly. Therefore, Solomon's kingdom was destroyed. Amen. However, there was a remnant. Yes, there was a space of grace for David's sake. Very first thing I see is Solomon's folly. Secondly, I see David's faith. Look at verse 12. Notwithstanding in the days, I will not do it for David, thy father's sake. Though Solomon messed up, I mean, he really messed up. God had grace on him and allowed him to finish his reign. Listen, God gave Solomon a chance. I believe with all my heart, if Solomon would have repented, the Lord who is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness would have forgave him. I believe that Solomon would have said, you know what? What I've done is foolish. If we would have got right with God, God would have forgiven him. But he didn't. But he had, listen, he had the chance. He had the chance. There was a space of grace because of David's faith. David believed God and he lived a life that honored God. Amen. David sinned, absolutely. You know the story, Bathsheba. But he repented. I've sinned today. But I repented. And I'm probably going to sin tomorrow. But there's a God in heaven who will forgive me of my sin. Who will cleanse me from all unrighteousness. David repented. David's life as, listen, here it is. This is generational Sunday, all right? Generation. David is the older generation. David's life as the older generation had an impact on the current generation, which is Solomon, which resulted in influencing the younger generation, which is Rehoboam. I want you to listen right here very closely. David's faith and obedience had an effect after he was gone. David's life had an effect when he was dead. I want to make an influence on this earth for God while I'm alive and while I'm dead. But Solomon did not. David is the older generation. God was going to destroy Solomon's kingdom, yet he was going to save a remnant. Verse 13 says, "Howbeit, I will not rend away all the kingdom, but I will give one tribe to thy son." I see grace. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. Amen. They didn't deserve that. I deserve hell. I'm a sinner. I mean, I see grace right there. He said, I'm going to destroy it. You deserve it. They deserved it. But I'm going to save a remnant. Look at verse 32. But he shall have one tribe for my servant David's sake. Verse 36. And unto his son I will give one tribe that David my servant may have a light away before me in Jerusalem. Listen, all this was because of David's sake. Because David lived a life that glorified God, he made a difference in Solomon when he was dead. When he was dead. Listen, God made a way of grace. For David's sake, there was a chance. For David's sake, there was hope. For David's sake, there was a space of grace. Then we have Rehoboam's fate. Rehoboam's fate. 1 Kings 12, verse number 6. And King Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived and said, how do you advise me that I may answer this people? So we have here, I'll give you background. We have here, Solomon died. Jeroboam is the king of one part of the nation, and Rehoboam is the part of the king of Judah. All right, Solomon had Rehoboam. They were under his slavery. They were under his finger. The Bible says, verse number 4, thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore make thou the grievous service of thy father, and this heavy yoke which he put on us lighter, that we may serve thee. So he said, hey, Rehoboam, your father's dead now. Would you please make our service lighter? Would you ease up on us? So Rehoboam said, okay, I'll take counsel. So he took counsel of the old man. The old man said, make it lighter. He took counsel of the young man. The young man said, make it harder. And so Rehoboam, and listen, verse number 7, and they spake unto him, saying, if thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and will serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever. That's the old man's advice. Listen, treat them right, and they're going to treat you right. Amen. That's how it works. Amen. You treat them with respect, they're going to treat you with respect, because sowing and reaping, you reap what you sow. Hey, treat them with respect, treat them as humans, and you're going to reap respect. Amen. But listen, he didn't take that advice. Verse number 8. But he forsook. Listen, he forsook. He said, bye. He forsook the counsel of the old man, which they had given him, and he consulted with the young men that were grown up with him. Rehoboam's fate, listen, he had counsel. Counsel is a good thing. Counsel, you need counsel. That's why God gives you a pastor for counsel. Amen? And he had counsel from the old man. And then he had counsel from the young man. The Bible says that grew up with him. His peers. Let me give you advice. You don't take counsel from your peers. No. Amen. I go to Bible college. I'm not asking any of the Bible college students for counsel. Sorry. Some less than others. Amen. Listen, you don't take counsel from your peers. You take counsel from the older men of God. Amen. Why? Because they have wisdom. Rehoboam, he didn't listen. Solomon's son Rehoboam was the remnant. He was the king. He needed counsel. We see, number one, we see Rehoboam's decision to forsake the old men's counsel and follow the young men. This led to apostasy. 1 Kings 14. And I'm going somewhere, so just hang on, all right? 1 Kings 14, 21. And Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, reigned in Judah. Listen, Rehoboam was 41 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord did choose out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. And his mother's name was Nahah of the Ammonites. Verse 22, and Judah, look, did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy with their sins, which they had committed above all, look, all that their fathers had done. That's including Solomon. For they built them high places, images, and groves on every high hill and under every green tree. Look, there were also Sodomites in the land, and they did according to the abominations of the nation which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. Solomon's fate. Solomon decided, you know what, I'm not going to listen to old men. I'm not going to listen to the wise old men of God. I'm going to listen to young men. This is the result. Judah was more wicked than all the other nations. They built groves. They did not serve God. They were idolaters.
Amen.
There were Sodomites in the land. They did according to all the abominations of other nations. They robbed God and treated his house with no respect. Look at verse 27. Verse 27, the Bible says, And King Rehoboam made in their stead brazen shields and committed them unto the hands of the chief of the guard, which kept the door of the king's house. Listen, they robbed God's house. I'm going somewhere. You may be connecting the dots. They robbed God's house, and there was war throughout the land. Amen. Now, how does all this apply? A lot of information, I know. How does all this apply to us? As I said, Solomon is the current generation. This generation is wealthy.
Amen.
Make a lot of money.
Yes,
amen. Make rich people look poor.
Right.
I mean, they make a lot of money doing nothing. I'm a landscaper, okay? So I mow grass, works great in Bible college. I can't tell you how many people work at home in their pajamas.
Right.
Live in two-story houses on the lake.
Yes, sir.
You don't even get out of bed till like 11 o'clock in the morning. I mean, come on. Listen, this generation, they make a lot of money. Solomon made a lot of money. They're wealthy. Today's generation has wisdom. There's more universities and colleges than ever. They're so wise, they know more than human nature. They're so wise, they know that I'm not a guy. I can't be a guy. There's no way I'm going to be a guy. I'm not a guy. I mean, they're so wise. You understand? They're so wise, they pronounce themselves fools. But they got a lot of wisdom. So did Solomon. This generation has peace. We're not fighting World War II. We're not in Vietnam. We're not World War I. We have peace. Right. Solomon had peace.
Yeah.
He wasn't fighting any wars. Listen, but today's generation is full of fornicators.
Right.
Solomon was a fornicator.
Yeah.
Today's generation is pumping 9-year-olds to be fornicators.
Yeah.
Amen. I've heard worse words out of a 9-year-old bus kid than I have out of a sailor. Oh, yeah. You know why? Because it's pumping them.
Yep, right.
This generation is full of fornicators. This generation has many gods, and they serve them every day.
Yep,
Solomon had many gods. This generation, they don't come to church. They don't need church. They got a million other gods.
Right. Yep.
They got a million other things to do. This generation, this current generation, just like Solomon, are consumed by evil, just like Solomon. The thoughts and intents of their heart are only evil continually. Solomon is this generation. Wicked, evil, and they deserve destruction. America deserves to go. That's what she deserves. This world deserves. That's what we deserve. Solomon, that's what he deserved. But there was a space of grace for David's sake. Solomon, the current generation, deserved destruction. However, they didn't get it. Because secondly, David's generation is the past generation. Men like that was here this morning. Bob Smith. Men like Jack Hiles, men like Tom Malone, and we could go on and on. Men that lived a life, and they just honored God, and they did what was right, and it didn't matter what anybody thought, it didn't matter what was said, they honored God.
Amen.
And today, we have a remnant. Today, we are not destroyed because of their faith.
Yes, sir.
Because you reap what you sow, and we are reaping what they sowed. This church was started a long time ago. You're sitting in the pews, you're reaping whoever started this church. My dad's a church planter. We start churches. My church, you get on this road, you go that way all the way to the end, it's our church. We're like a street over. It's a long ways up there, and there's a lot of traffic on Sundays, by the way. I don't know what everybody's doing, but they need to go home. Amen. You go straight up that road, two streets over, you're at my church. Listen, we started that church 12 years ago. Before my dad started that church, there wasn't. That church wasn't there before he started it, okay? That's how it works, amen? But you know what there are right now in church? They're reaping what he sowed.
Amen.
You know when that church is there, and years from now, they're going to be reaping what he sowed. Tonight, you're reaping what somebody else sowed. David is the past generation. Today's generation, Solomon lives as if God did not exist. However, we have the choice of what we do with it. You see, the past generation gave us a chance to make an impact on this generation.
Yes, sir. Yes.
You realize if we weren't here, souls wouldn't get saved.
That's right.
If there wasn't a church here in Haltom City, Haltom City would not be reached with the gospel.
Right.
If there wasn't a past generation, this generation couldn't be saved.
Right.
Solomon did not get right. But Solomon wasn't the only person alive. I think of all the little kids running around.
Amen.
Solomon's kingdom. They didn't have any idea what the king was doing. But maybe there was somebody who's told them the gospel. And that little kid got saved. Because of David. Simply because he lived a life that honored God. Did he know? No, he didn't know. But he made a difference. Why? Because he simply did what was right. David is the current generation. It's the past generation, excuse me. Solomon is the current. Rehoboam is the generation that's just beginning. The generation that has to fight with idolatry. The generation that has to fight with sodomy. Everywhere. Everywhere. You say anything about it, you hear words you're not supposed to hear. Everywhere. The generation that has to deal with their government following abominations of other countries. You know how many countries we're following right now? We're following in their steps. They were destroyed. So will we. A generation that has to deal with robbery towards God. This generation that's coming up, they don't care about God's house. They don't care about God's property. No, they don't. I mean, at our church, we're in a neighborhood. The church van had one time, I don't even know how it happened. They jimmied the lock and filled the back of the church van with junk. Just trash. It was like, why did you do all that work just to fill it with trash? Okay, then they cut off the catalytic converter. Then they messed with some kids in the neighborhood, broke the basketball hoop. You know, that's just minor things, but I'm not going to go to the big things, okay? But listen, they treat God's house as if it was a playground. Why? Because they don't care. Amen. Rehoboam didn't care. The generation has to deal with it. Disrespect towards God's house. And listen, just like Rehoboam, they have to deal with war among themselves. Have you realized that America is fighting each other? We're fighting our next door neighbors because they're a different color than we are? Because they don't make as much money as we do? I mean, we don't have big wars. We fight little wars. We make our own wars to fight. Tonight, here's the thing. Solomon, the current generation. David's faith is the past generation. Rehoboam is the generation that's just beginning. A space of grace for David's sake. Solomon deserved destruction. Yet because David lived a life that honored God, Solomon's destruction was stayed. Solomon's son, Rehoboam, had the chance. They both had the chance to get right with God. They both had the chance to serve God. But neither one of them would have if not for David's. The only reason why they didn't be destroyed was David. Question. Is your life right now, would your life stay God's judgment? Would God give the next generation a space of grace for you? Are you honoring God? Are you living a life that pleases God? It doesn't matter what anybody else says. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. It doesn't matter who's here, who's not here. It doesn't matter. Live a life that honors God because there's a next generation. There's a little bus kid that needs to get saved.
Amen.
There's a little kid over here that needs Jesus because hell is real. and your life just coming to church, just honoring God, just being faithful, your life can make a difference in his by just being faithful.
Amen.
Because he needs Jesus. He needs a space of grace. He needs God to save his life. Doesn't matter what the authority does. Doesn't matter what the rulers do. Solomon and Rehoboam, they didn't take the space of grace, but they had it. But I believe somebody did. You can't tell me a whole nation didn't. Somebody did. Somebody needs Christians to just live right.
Amen.
It's not about us. There's people watching you. There's people every second, every day, they watch you. And you, getting up, going to work, going to church, getting dressed, taking care of your house, whatever. You make a difference in them by just being faithful. David had no idea. He had no idea. But God did. Be a David because it honors God. Amen. And it can save. Listen, it can save a life.
Amen.
Because hell is really hot. Rescue the perishing. You don't have to go to China to rescue the perishing. Just be faithful. Be a David. Honor God. A space of grace for David's sake. David's faith gave Solomon a chance to repent, and it gave Rehoboam the opportunity to do right. Though neither did, they both had the chance. Simply because David lived right. If you were to die right now, would your life be like David's? Would God be able to save a generation for your sake? I want to make a difference. Solomon, this generation's bad. The next one's worse. The next one's worse. Doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are. You can make a difference by simply living right. Father in heaven, that's the message tonight.